Okay, this evening our study is taken from Psalm 49. Psalm 49. I'm entitling this message from the words found in verse 8. Redemption. What a glorious word. Redemption. Redemption. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. We're doing a study right now through the book of Ruth in our Bible study there at Zebulun. And I've told the folks about Boaz. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, who had the right to redeem, being near kin, who had the ability to redeem, and who was willing to do so. Boaz is a very good personal type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption. Oh, what a redeemer we have in Christ Jesus. He has redeemed us from our sin with His own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. This word redemption is also deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ is our deliverer. He has delivered us from all condemnation, and He's given us salvation in Christ Jesus. Now this psalm, as all of God's Word, has a sobering and truthful message. A sobering and truthful message for those that would find some sort of refuge in the deceitfulness of riches, or in the power of the flesh, or in a fleshly established righteousness. Oh, this psalm just bears it out for what it really is. All flesh is grass. But also this psalm has a message of comfort for the believer who finds all of his salvation in the Lord alone. For it says in verse 15, God will redeem my soul. Who will? But God. Who else could? Who else is able to save to the uttermost? But God will redeem my soul. He has, and He will, and He will finally, totally deliver us from all the presence and power of sin and make us just like the Lord Jesus Christ. This psalm reminds me of the words found in Jeremiah 17 where it describes who is the cursed man and who is the blessed man. You remember from Jeremiah 17 verse 5? Cursed is that man that trusteth in the flesh, who maketh the flesh his strength, his arm, his crutch, his power, his refuge. But then the flip side of that is, blessed is a man whose hope is in the Lord. That's a blessed man whose hope is in the Lord, our God. Now notice, if you will, verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 49. Hear this. Hear this. Don't hear something else. Hear this. Oh, we should be swift to hear, shouldn't we? That's what James says, isn't it? Swift to hear, slow to speak. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. And then it describes low and high. Doesn't matter your station in life. All men need to hear a word from Almighty God. He says, hear this. Both low and high, rich and poor, together hear the word of the Lord. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of God concerning Christ and Him crucified. The gospel is a message to be heard by all people, all men, poor, rich, young, old, Jew, Gentile, black, white. Our risen Lord instructed His church, it's recorded in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to, doesn't say go preach to the elect. Preach the gospel to every creature, and God will call out His elect with that message. He'll divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep, He said, they what? They hear my voice. I know them. And I give unto them eternal life. He gives them ears to hear. You ever notice that God has given us two ears, one tongue? Two ears, one tongue. to show us that we should be swift to hear him and slow to speak. We should be twice as ready to hear. He's given us two ears, this way and this way. Sometimes our ears don't work too good. But God's given us two ears, and oftentimes we speak when we should sit still and listen. Listen. Our Lord said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Blessed are your eyes, he said, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. They hear. Oh, I tell you what, to hear a word from God, blessed in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, blessed our heart. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. God speaks from heaven, and the message is this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him. Oh, for willingness to hear the gospel message. That's why you're here this evening, aren't you? To hear a word from God? You didn't come here just to hear me preach. I trust you came here to hear a word from God. I trust the Lord will bless us with the message, and I'll be able to deliver a message that's true to the Word, honoring to Christ. The gospel message of salvation that is of the Lord is meant to be heard by all people. All people under God's reign, all people, all nations, rich, poor, learned, ignorant. For in that respect, according to the flesh, God is no respecter of persons. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. I like the words when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, and God had been doing a work in that man's heart. And when Peter got there with the gospel message, you remember what he said? Cornelius had gathered all of his servants around, and he said to Peter, "We're glad to see you. You're God's prophet." He said, "We're all here to hear what God had commanded you to speak unto us." That's why we're here. We're here to hear a word from God Almighty. May God be pleased to do so. The man who refuses to receive gospel instruction from the Word of God will not be able to escape receiving destruction when God Almighty says in judgment, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." Oh, you imagine hearing such a pronouncement from God Almighty. The man who refuses to hear gospel instruction will one day receive those damning instructions, "Depart from me." So, hear this. Now hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. Doesn't matter, low, high, rich, poor, bond, free, Jew, Gentile, black, white, young, old. Hear this. God's gospel concerning Christ Jesus. That's what it says in verse 3. "For my mouth shall speak of wisdom." That's our message. Our message is wisdom. The wisdom of God that's hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see if we can find that over here. I haven't written this text down, but find the book of Colossians. If my mind hasn't completely left me, and sometimes I begin to think that it has. In Colossians chapter 2, he says, "For them I pray that their hearts might be comforted," verse 2, "being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." My mouth shall speak of wisdom, or we can say it this way. Our message is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. God's servants have a message to preach. We have a message to preach. The Apostle Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." But now listen to this. "If I do by His grace preach the gospel of Christ, and you won't hear it, woe unto you if you won't hear it. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel of Christ, but woe is unto that person who refuses to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we come preaching, he says in another place in 2 Corinthians, we come not preaching ourselves. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ alone. Christ alone. I've never heard a believer complain about we preach Christ too often. We exalt Christ too much. We give him too much honor and glory. I've never heard a believer complain about that. Have you? I'd like to be charged being guilty of giving too much honor and exalting the Lord too high in the preaching of the gospel. We preach not ourselves, but ourselves your servant for Christ's sake. Our message is the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. What he has done for us, not what we must do for him. Our message is not let God do something or try God and see if he works or try Jesus and see if that'll work out for you. That's not our message. Our message is not what we do for God or what we must do. Our message is what God has done for us in Christ. He's redeemed us from our sin and given us Christ and Christ alone. May our determination be, as we meet here together as God's saints, as we meet here together, may our determination be the same as the Apostle Paul, determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God, the power of God, the righteousness of God, the salvation of sinners in Jesus Christ and him crucified. It says that over in the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn over there. We preach Christ crucified as the wisdom of God. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our message is that of wisdom. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Understanding. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for the Jews require a sign, verse 22. The Greeks, they seek after fleshly wisdom. That wisdom there is referring to worldly wisdom. That we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Gentile, Christ crucified, the power of God, and Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. Oh, the wisdom of God in the gospel. How God can be a just God and Savior. How he can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. We preach Christ. Christ crucified as the wisdom of God. The glory of God. And God's servants preach with understanding. It says that in verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, Christ. And the meditation of my heart is with understanding of who God is. God's servants preach with understanding. Here's what it says in 1 John 5:20. Don't turn, let me just read it to you here. We know the Son of God is come, and he's given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. And this is eternal life. Believers also hear with understanding. We preach with understanding. And we hear with understanding. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Let me show you something here. How do we arrive at this understanding? Where does it come from? Psalm 119. I want to look at verse 104. Through thy precepts, I get understanding through God's word. Psalm 119, verse 104. How sweet, verse 103, are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Now look at this carefully. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I tell you what, if you do not hate that which is contrary to the gospel of God's grace, it's because you have no real, genuine love for the truth. I hate that which is contrary to God, contrary to the gospel, contrary to salvation by God's grace. I despise it. because it's dishonoring to God and it's not true. It's dishonoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Understanding. I've got another reference written down here. Let's turn over here to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Understanding. Oh, to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ with understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. This tells us also something about wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get it. Get it. Get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, you know what comes with it? Understanding. Understanding. These are the gifts God gives to His church through the ministry of the gospel, by the power and revelation of God the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Psalm 49, verse 4. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings with a song. With a song, with a harp. A song. God's servants tell others what they have heard and learned and know to be so. You cannot tell others what you don't know. That's pretty difficult to do. Impossible to do. You cannot tell others what you don't know anymore. You can come back from where you haven't been. We declare a message that is true, a message that we believe, a message that we have experienced in our heart. We declare this message with joy to preach the same things to you, to me indeed. Look over here at Philippians chapter 3. To preach the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. It's not a burden. You know, I preach the same message every time I preach. Message doesn't change. God doesn't change. The message doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. Our message is always that salvation is of the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not a burden. And to preach the same message to you every time I come here is not a burden. It's not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. These are not the four-legged dogs. These are the two-legged false preachers. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the flesh merchants of the concision. Those who preach circumcision or doing rather than done in Christ. But we are the true Israel, the true circumcision, that which is the circumcision of the heart, the operation of God upon the heart. That's the circumcision we need. And we worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in this flesh. Our confidence is in the Lord and Him alone. So we declare this message unto you with joy. Turn over here to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 10. Paul quotes this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but he brings it from this verse right here. This is Psalm 116, verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Look at the next part of that. I was greatly afflicted. I tell you what, you take a strong and public stand for the gospel of God's grace and the enemies of God, you'll hear from them. You'll hear from them. I had one man some years ago who publicly attacked me on the radio and criticized me very harshly. And invited all my congregation to leave. And you take a strong public stand for the gospel of God's grace, and you'll hear from the enemies of God. But we don't need to be fearful of them. Look at verse 5. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? I tell you, my friend, we're living in that day, in the days of evil. It's everywhere, everywhere. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Why should we fear the days of evil, when the iniquities of our flesh, or the iniquities of the flesh, compass me round about, or the iniquities of the supplanters, or the enemies of the gospel surround us all the time and hound us and hunt us? And if they would, they would harm us. Look over here at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The message of the gospel is always to God's people in a way of comfort. Fear not. Fear not. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. Verse 1. My salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, boy, David had a bunch of them, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. When the iniquities of my heels, look back at the text again, wherefore should I fear in these evil days? When the iniquities of my flesh compass me all about, fear not. The message of the gospel is fear not. Isaiah 43, fear not, I am with thee. I am with thee. Turn to one of my favorite scriptures over here found in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. I'd be in trouble if I said turn to one of my favorite scriptures and I couldn't find it. You would begin to wonder about old Tom, wouldn't you? But I found this one, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, I'm with thee. I am with thee. You remember what the Lord said, the risen Lord said to his disciples? He said, go on to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. You say, well, you know, I don't feel his presence. He didn't ask you to feel his presence. He said, believe my word, I'm with you always. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. Fear not. Look over here at Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Why? I've redeemed thee. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee. You're mine. Oh, what a blessed, blessed truth. Fear not, my friend. I've jotted down four things here under this heading of fear not. We as believers need not fear old age. Old age. I'm soon going to be 60 years old. Matter of fact, I've got a birthday coming up this week. And a lot of folks this morning asked me, well, pastor, preacher, how old are you going to be? And I said, I'm almost 60, and I can't wait till I'm 60 years old. I said, I finally feel like I've grown up a little bit. 60 years old. But we need not, as believers, fear old age. Death, the death of this flesh to a believer. We need not fear death. The sting of death has been taken away in Christ Jesus. The death of this flesh for the believer. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. The death of this flesh for a believer simply ushers us into his presence forever. We need not fear death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Our Lord said this in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord. Now you think about it. There's not many things in the Word of God that's called precious. We are redeemed with His precious blood. He has obtained for us like precious faith. But He says here, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. What a blessing to die in the Lord. We need not fear death. Second thing, we need not fear the iniquities of our sin. For the Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of our sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin. And then He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not, but when you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, when the iniquities of my heels, my flesh, compasses me about, the Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin. Put away our sin. Thirdly, we need not fear the assault of the enemies of the gospel of Christ. We need not fear them, for God will take care of them in due time. In due time, you remember that scripture over there in Deuteronomy? In due time, their foot shall slide. In due time, they're on slippery ground. They're not on the solid rock. They're on sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I reminded of a story about an old Irishman. And he was out in the open air, this is years ago, preaching the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And he had a heckler out in the crowd. And the heckler knew he was an Irishman. And he said, the heckler said, well, tell us about the shamrock. The shamrock. And the man would hush for a while, and the preacher would go on preaching Christ, Christ, Christ. And the man would speak up, tell us about the shamrock. Well, finally the preacher addressed the man. He said, I tell you what, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is shamrock. Shamrock. Christ is our solid rock. Everything else is shamrock. Shamrock. God said away with it. Christ is the rock of ages. On Him I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We need not fear the assault of the enemy. We need not fear our iniquities. We need not fear death, old age and death. We need not fear. Fourthly, we need not fear the trial that come our way. Oh, we have many burdens to bear, don't we? We need not fear these trials that come our way, for they're for our good. They are for our good. Peter calls them precious trials. Precious trial. He said, think it not a strange thing when fiery trials come upon you. I want to adopt this attitude that glorifies God. I'll tell you another story. There was some of you have heard, maybe even have heard the one message that's on sermon audio by A.D. Muse. He's an old preacher that preached in Pastor Mahan's conference, in that first conference in 1954. But Brother Muse was preaching and traveling somewhere, preaching in a meeting somewhere, I don't know when and don't know what year this happened, but he ministered back in the, he died in 1954, but this was back in the 30s and the 40s, and he was traveling out of the country with another preacher headed to a meeting or coming back from a meeting, and they ran off the road and crashed, pretty serious crash, and both the men were hurt. Both of them were moaning and bemoaning their pain and grief. And one said to the other, brother, you okay? And the other brother said back to his dear friend, he said, God is sovereign, we'll be thankful. God is sovereign, we'll be thankful. I want to adopt that attitude, don't you? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. God is sovereign. We'll be thankful. That's the attitude that honoring to God. God is sovereign. We'll be thankful. Wherefore should I fear? Look back to the text again. I've got to move on. We'll never get through this. I've already gone 29 minutes. I'm going to have to wind this up. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquities of my heels shall compass me about? Now look at verse 6, 7, and 9. Verse 6, 7, and 9. They that trust in their wealth. Now that's a pitiful thing to trust in, isn't it? That's a pitiful thing to trust in, their wealth. I'd say the majority of people who are wealthy, that's their comfort. That's their refuge. They think that money's the answer of everything. And our Lord said the love of money is the root of evil. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, well, none of them can by any means, redeem his brother. Can you buy your salvation? We read a moment ago in 1 Peter, we're not redeemed with corruptible things. It's not gold and silver. It's not traditions. It's not anything but Christ. None of them can by any means, that's pretty strong language, redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom price for him. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. I tell you, death cannot be bribed, can it? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. Doesn't matter if you have plenty or if you're a shoeblack. A shoeblack is one who shines boots for a living. Doesn't matter if you're a president or a shoeblack. Death cannot be bribed, neither can riches stop the progress of death. Riches can't, not at all. No one has ever been redeemed or delivered from the wages of sin by wealth or good works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. God is not impressed with the world of gold. What is that to God? What is Fort Knox full of gold? Nothing. Nothing but rocks. God is not impressed with a world of gold or oceans of diamonds nor mountains of silver. Not at all. All boasted treasures of men are powerless to save and justify the ungodly. Not at all. But here's the blessed truth here in verse 8, and I'll get to verse 15. For the redemption of their soul, the redemption of any soul is precious. You know that word there is also rendered heavy? The redemption of the soul is costly. And it's not worldly riches. The cost of the redemption of any soul is the precious blood of Christ. That's a heavy price. He paid the ultimate price to put away our sin. The deliverance of a soul from the clutches of sin and death and the law of God is precious. It's costly, and it is eternal redemption we have in Christ. And I've got a note on verse 8. It says, camp here. Camp here. Pitch a tent here. Pastor Mahan used to say that all the time. Now let's camp here for a while. And I realize my camping time is gone. Redemption is precious. Redemption is costly. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, has redeemed us with his own precious blood. God bought the church with his own blood. I like that scripture found in Job 33. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Deliver him. I found a ransom. And that ransom price is Christ. And when the ransom price is paid, the captive goes free. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by that one offering, perfected forever them who were sanctified. How precious and how costly, and what is the value and worth and merit of the blood redemption we have in Christ Jesus? So much so that God Almighty said, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Our sin is gone. So powerful. Nothing weak and anemic about the blood atonement of Christ. It's powerful and prevailing. It has eternal value, eternal merit. He bought us with His own blood. And I tell you what, God's going to have what He bought. You don't go to the grocery store and buy groceries and then leave them at the store, do you? I tell one on my wife. She did that the other day. She left part of her groceries at the store. But you don't, on purpose, go to the grocery store and buy groceries and then go home without them, do you? You're going to take home what you bought. Now, you think God is going to have what He bought? Absolutely so. All those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died, they cannot perish. Forgive me, will you, dear? Well, it makes for a good illustration anyway, doesn't it? That's why it happened. So I could use that as an illustration. Look at verse 10. Back to the ungodly, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person. They leave their wealth to others. The wise, the educated man, the fool, and the brutish, ungodly, heathen, the infidel. Death is no respecter of persons. They leave all that they have for others to fight over, don't they? Likewise, the fool and the brutish person, they die. They leave their wealth to others. There was a rich man who died in the local community, and they all came to view his body, and they asked, well, what did the rich man leave? And someone wisely said, he left everything. We brought nothing into this world. Naked we came, and that's how we're going to leave. We're going to leave everything. The fashion of this world passed away. It says in 1 Timothy 6, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But their inward foolish thought is this, their houses will continue forever, and their dwelling to all generations. And they call their lands after their own name. The foolish unbeliever's inward thought is they're not going to die. That their goods are real and lasting. Not so. The Word of God said the fashion of this world is passing away. You know, Satan is still promoting the lie that he told Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat, you're going to die. And Satan is still promoting that lie, thou shalt not surely die. And many people are still believing that lie. Oh yes, fallen mankind is still duped by Satan's lie. As soon as this flesh is born, there's a steady march back to the dust, for all flesh is grass. Look at verse 12. I'll just read these verses. I want to get down to verse 15 there for a minute. Nevertheless, man being in honor, he abideth not. He's like the beast that perishes, and it says that twice. Man, verse 20, man that is honor understandeth not, is like the beast that perishes. This, their folly, is their way. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of that way is death. This, their way, is their folly. Yet their posterity approve of their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them, as they are one with Christ, and as they rule with Him, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But, and here's what I want to get to, and I'll let you go with this, verse 15. You see, the believer's hope is beyond the grave. If in this life we have only hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for He shall receive me forever. The believer's hope is a glorious resurrection hope in Christ. Did you ever read that beautiful promise in John chapter 11 when our Lord says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Our elder brother, the Lord Jesus, has given to God a ransom. We are redeemed, the redeemed of the Lord. And because of this ransom price, we shall be assuredly redeemed out of the hand of the last enemy, and he shall receive us, for he shall receive me. Remember what the Lord said in John 14? I go away to prepare a place for you. Now, what's he talking about there? A lot of people think he's going away and building a big mansion or a big paradise. That's not what he's talking about. He says that on the eve of the cross. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Where's he going? To the cross. He's going to the cross to prepare us for the way. Christ the way. He said, I go away, but I'll come again. I'm going away. I'm going to come again, and I'll receive you to myself, and there shall you be forever with him. That's the place he's prepared for us, at the cross. At the cross. That's what we're going to sing in a minute. At the cross. Our elder brother has given to God a ransom. Oh, what a ransom. And because of that, he shall receive me. He shall take me out of the tomb and take me to glory. My spirit God will receive, and my body shall sleep in the ground for a while, till God comes again and receives us unto himself forever. You know, that's what predestination is all about. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. God is going to make a heavenly people. He's going to populate heaven with a people just like Christ Jesus. Perfect in every way.